Victor, New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
I'm your other co-host, Darren Patterson.
How you doing, Darren?
I'm doing all right. Doing okay. Loving the fall weather.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving's in the air.
We got a lot of snow here.
Oh, my Lord.
We got pummeled with snow.
Oh, Lord in heaven. Like, it's just, like, no one was ready for it. They were told it was coming. And we still weren't ready.
Yeah.
It was an abomination.
And it was, yeah, it was a nightmare for everyone in New Jersey to get home on Thursday.
Did you fare okay? Or?
It took me 3 hours to go from Fort Lee to Parsippany, which I understand was pretty good. Because there were other people saying, like, oh, it took me 8 or 9 hours to get home.
I know. Like, I mean, I work in the city, and, like, one of my coworkers works in... He works in the city with me, but he lives in Jersey. I think he lives in Parsippany too, or like Florham Park or something like that. He said he didn't get home till like around midnight. Like, I've heard numerous people say they didn't get home until like midnight, 1 a.m. People slept in their cars. It was
I walked in my door about 9:10 that night after leaving at about 6:20, 6:30.
How long is that trip usually?
It's usually a 35-minute trip. My route home, if it was five times as long, it would have quintupled. What is it when it's six times as long?
Hextupled. I don't know math.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why I feel bad, because like my commute wasn't that bad at all.
Yeah,
I really lucked out, because like I said, I work in the city in the Upper East Side, and then I was able to take the train. I was able to walk to the subway. The MTA train was running, so I took that, and then I made my way to Penn Station. I caught, I think, the last train that was out, like, just before, because I know some trains were getting delayed. Mm-hmm. So I hopped on the last train just as it left. It was packed, but I made it home like around like 8:30.
Wow! Yeah,
it was a miracle.
So we did pretty well, all things considered.
The Lord's were on my side.
But so that was our New Jersey commuter portion of the show.
Yes, that's traffic on the ones and twos.
this week we're going to talk about the Saturday Night Live episode from November 17th with Mr. Steve Carell hosting and Ella May musical guesting.
Absolutely.
And it was Mr. Carell's third time hosting. He last hosted like 10 years ago. I think he hosted in 2005.
Yeah. It was a decade, yeah.
I guess when, you know, he first hit with like 40-Year-Old Virgin in The Office.
Yeah.
And then again, about 10 years ago.
Yeah,
2008.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So this was his grand return.
Da-da-da-da.
So,
So let's start off. It was a cold open. It was like another Laura Ingraham sketch.
Kate McKinnon, once again, as Laura Ingraham, which she's done once already this season.
I think she did it last week.
Was it that recently?
It was very recently.
I feel like it was 2 weeks ago.
Either a week ago or 2 weeks. I got to look at my notes.
I'm
pretty sure it was last week. It was
okay.
Very recently.
Oh, why don't you describe it? I will look at my previous notes, and I'll try and figure out if...
So basically, it's Laura Ingraham, Fox News host, and she does a pretty good impression of her. And I think it started off with a lot of feel facts. A lot of facts aren't true, but feel true.
Yeah, you can't dismiss that idea simply because it isn't true and sounds insane. That was the quote I really liked.
It's a joke, but it's so how they operate. It's like sad.
Yeah.
It's like blackface. Blackface is a compliment.
Yeah.
I was like, oh god.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that's like, it's so close to the bone that it's like, it's just it's like parody and reality are just as one at this point.
So I looked it up. They did the Laura Ingraham thing two episodes ago in the Jonah Hill episode.
Oh, okay. So it's two episodes.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Last week with Liev Schreiber, the opening was the Jeff Sessions goodbye.
You know what? You're right. All right. So I stand down.
So, but it was very recently. It was at the beginning of this month.
I was actually surprised. I thought they'd do something different. But
Well, I mean, it's a good vehicle for them to cover the events of the day and talk about like Fox denying the whole blue wave thing happening,
even though it is.
And
but it was good. We saw a Mark Zuckerberg impression that was pretty
right. Neat. Was that Mikey Day or was that Alex Moffat?
That was Moffat.
That was Moffat. Because I'm sadly getting to the point where we've made the joke so long about Mikey Day and Alex Moffat being interchangeable, I'm now genuinely having trouble telling them apart.
Now the joke's gone too far.
It was because my notes, it's I have Mikey Day as Mark Zuckerberg, and I was like not sure if that was right.
It's not.
It's I was like, I don't know. I'm mixing up the anonymous white guys on Saturday Night Live.
Mikey Moffat as Mark Zuckerberg.
Mikey Moffat, Alex Day. Yeah. As Mark Zuckerberg.
But no, it was good. And
Leslie Jones as Marcia Fudge.
Yeah, I didn't even know who that was. I mean, it shows what I know about politics. But yeah. Who's Marcia Fudge?
I didn't write down like this. Apparently, that is something who just got elected, and I don't know what state she got elected to. But.
Art. And Cecily Strong as Jeanine Pyro again.
Judge Jeanine Pyro, or Pyro. Is it Pyro or Pyro?
Pyro? Pyro?
I don't know.
Che?
Oh,
shit. At the same time. Wow, we've been doing this too long.
Okay. You know, that's my problem with this sketch is I never have really watched Laura Ingraham. I just know her name as a Fox News host. And so I don't really know her show the way I know it, like I would know a Bill O'Reilly or a Sean Hannity
or
something like that. I've just never sampled her show. So
right. No, like part of me kind of wants to see her show just to see how close the impression is. But then again, I realize I'd be watching Fox News. And I can't make that sacrifice.
I don't know if that's a sacrifice I want to make either.
Lord, no.
I am mildly curious, but yeah, maybe we could Google it and go on YouTube or something. That way we're not giving Fox News ratings.
Yeah, but we'll still be watching Fox News though.
We'll do it like you're watching a solar eclipse. We'll get a cup and like put a little pin prick at the bottom of the cup and just watch it through that little hole.
All right, that might work.
And then you know then we're not indoctrinated.
Yeah,
they don't have the little They Live device that you know reads obey.
Oh wow, that's a
I know deep cut there.
All right, but no, all right, that might work. I'll look at it through like a pin in a cardboard sheet.
Exactly.
Or a hole in a sheet. I'll watch it through a hole in a sheet.
You'll watch it like a honeymooning Orthodox Jewish couple. Hole in a sheet.
Just a tip.
So that was the cold open.
All right. Not bad.
It was all right. I enjoyed it. It had a couple of good lines. I don't know if I have too much else to say for it. Like with Alex Moffat as Mark Zuckerberg, he was just, I think the joke there was he was just like sort of an automaton who doesn't really understand how humans
work. Like one, two, three, and blink.
Yes.
Yeah, and like I think when he did the laughing thing, he didn't know exactly how to laugh.
Very artificial.
It's like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah. So it was a very different sort of Mark Zuckerberg than we saw in like The Social Network.
Yeah, I mean, but he's always been kind of like that. Very, like, not, I don't want to say unhuman. But, you know, just very...
But awkward on camera.
Yeah, he's very... Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you've seen Zuckerberg, especially when he was at the hearings, uh-huh. He seems very kind of, like, robotic.
I remember, like, years ago when... what's the fellow who played Mark Zuckerberg in the movie?
Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg. When he hosted, they had Mark Zuckerberg do a little drop-in cameo thing.
Oh.
And they were next to each other. And I remember thinking Mark Zuckerberg was like awkward even by the standards of non-actors doing walk-on cameos.
Yeah, like we've seen, I mean, if we watched a lot of episodes of SNL, and we've seen like non-actors on SNL, like politicians and
athletes.
Like Zuckerberg was right up there with that, if not beyond that.
He was very stiff. And, you know, and that's fine. The man's not an actor.
No, that's true. That's true. People, I mean, I don't know how I would behave if I was on live TV. I'd freeze up as well. But it just seems like I don't want to say he doesn't know how to be human. What's the right way to say this?
He's awkward on camera.
Yes. Possibly in life.
Possibly in life. Who knows? I haven't met the man. He could be not really entirely comfortable in his own skin. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
But, you know, from what I understand, the real Mark Zuckerberg is much more of an amiable, friendly guy than the guy we saw in The Social Network movie.
Oh, okay. But, all right, well, that's good to know.
So, yeah,
all right,
which is nice.
Yeah. Oh, and also with the cold open, there's one thing I noticed that I like where there was talking about the sponsors, and one of the sponsors was for whites only eggs.
Yes.
It's like, when you want the best part of the eggs, whites only eggs.
Yeah,
I was like,
that was a good joke.
I liked it.
That was a good joke. So then we had the opening credits, and then we had the monologue with Mr. Steve Carell.
Yes,
and he did one of the SNL standbys where they go to the audience questions,
right?
And then, it's one of those where he plays it like, oh, I didn't know we were doing questions.
Oh, yes, you have a question.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then somebody, usually it's like one of the writers or one of the bit players stands up and asks a question.
Yeah, and all the questions had the same, was the same question. When's that Office reboot going to happen?
Yeah, we need more episodes of The Office. We need you all to get together and do more of The Office.
Apparently, this is a thing that actually happens. Like, a lot of people want an Office reboot. I'm like, it didn't like just end not too long ago?
It ended like 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, and like you're already clamoring for a reboot, people?
Yeah.
I don't know, but actually this one was pretty cool because it had like Kenan Thompson asking for the reboot, and then Steve Carell, well, he said, oh, I think it's run its course. Like, what if people ask you for a Kenan and Kel reboot?
And he's like, I would totally do that.
I know. I thought it was awesome. I didn't think they'd ever mention that Kenan was on Kenan and Kel, but
they don't mention it much. No,
but the fact that it did is like, oh, that's cool.
I've never watched Kenan and Kel.
It's good. They had good chemistry. They had a good back and forth. You know,
like, I never, because it was on Nickelodeon, right?
It was on Nickelodeon.
It was like a kids' sketch show.
Yeah, it was basically kind of what's the word, like a.
You can't do that on television?
No, because, I mean, I think it kind of started on this other sketch show, All That, on Nickelodeon, but then it was a spinoff, that's it.
Oh, okay.
It was like a spinoff of All That, in a way.
Okay.
And, like, they were good, and, of course, that led to the Good Burger movie.
I was aware of Good Burger. I remember the previews for Good Burger.
I mean, I haven't seen Good Burger, but...
I have also not seen Good Burger.
But I know it has, like, a weird cult following, and people love it.
What is Kel doing now?
He's around.
What did he go on to?
He's around. He's just doing... Kel's doing Kel.
Okay.
I really don't know.
I just never see him. And
I think
that might not be a reflection on him or his career. Maybe I'm just missing him. I just don't know. I'm ignorant.
I feel like he's doing stand-up, but I don't know. I don't know. He's around. I think he might have gotten religious or something like that. But I thought I heard him say like he kind of found religion and he'd become more religious. But I don't know.
That's interesting. Okay.
He's a man of mystery. Who knows?
All right. Anyway, we're kind of burying the lead on the monologue because the big thing.
Cameo heavy.
The big thing in the monologue is after like those questions from an unidentified woman who I don't know if was a writer or what.
Yeah.
And then Kenan Thompson. Then we have cast members from The Office coming on and making cameos.
Right.
We have Ellie Kemper,
yes.
Who you might know from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, yeah. She's good stuff.
We have Mr. Ed Helms, who you might also know from the Hangover movies.
Yeah.
And then we had Jenna Fischer, who we still basically know from The Office.
She's known from The Office. She has like a show on ABC now, and she was on a Dewey Cox movie, Walk Hard.
I love Walk Hard. Walk Hard is such an underrated movie.
A lot of people say that.
Like, that's the wrong movie died.
Ooh. Wow.
But
I take.
Yeah. I could spend the next hour just talking about Walk Hard.
I gotta watch it. I mean, I watched it once. I thought it was good, but I guess. But more and more of my friends like love it. So I was like, okay, maybe I should watch it again.
We're getting together sometime. We're watching Walk Hard.
Done.
All right. It was funny. It's always fun to see their old co-stars come on. And I liked Ed Helms saying he was saying to Steve Carell, you wouldn't have to do all those sad movies anymore. that was a good line because Steve Carell, he's been doing a lot of drama lately.
He has been doing a lot of drama lately.
He even got nominated for an Oscar, didn't he?
Was it Foxcatcher?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, he did. He did. He's been doing like more and more drama. It is weird. But then again, it always happens. Like comedic actors, they always do a dramatic take.
That's true. You always kind of want to see how the other half lives.
Yeah, like Carrie did it. Will Ferrell did it. Melissa McCarthy. Like at some point, people
want to stretch their wings.
Yeah, of course, Robin Williams. At some point, like a comedic actor is like, you know what? I want to do. I want to show I'm more than just laughs and chuckles.
And most of them really do have great dramatic chops. So.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people say if you can do like commas more, comedy is more.
If you can do commas or semicolons or
any type of punctuation,
or M dashes, ellipses.
Yeah. If you can do exclamation marks, you
can write your own ticket.
Damn straight.
No darn tootin', really?
I should that's my catchphrase.
It kind of is. I was waiting for that.
I'll pepper it in throughout the podcast. You won't know when it's coming.
Okay,
but it's coming.
Oh, and there was another cameo after Jenna Fischer. We had Nancy Walls and Steve Carell's kids.
Yes,
up there apparently in one of the balconies.
Yeah, I thought she'd be like Like, why is she up there? I was like, she's a former cast member. Can't she just be on the floor?
I don't know. I've only seen the SNL studio like once when I was on the NBC tour.
Uh-huh.
But you might have a better view from the balcony, honestly.
I guess so.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's their standard comp seat place.
I guess. Yeah.
But, and Nancy Walls actually used to be a regular on the show.
Yeah. Back in the 90s. She was on with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, and Sherry when O'Terry. David Koechner was on. And you know, like early.
Early aughts.
Early days of that cast.
It was like after the late 90s cast where it wasn't great.
Whole thing. I don't think she was on for very long. I think she was only on for like maybe a season or so.
Yeah, like a season or two. And then she bounced.
Yeah, and I don't know if she left on her own or if she was fired or... I really don't know the story there at all.
Oh, so maybe that's why she has the balcony.
She was banished.
Like, keep her up there.
Lauren's like, I'm going to keep her at a distance. I don't want her getting too close.
Put her in the pen upstairs.
but yes. it was funny. And
that's cool. Wait, so have you ever seen a live SNL?
I have not.
Me neither.
Maybe
that's something we should try to do.
Yeah. And, you know, you can go to the dress rehearsal, too.
Oh, wait, you can?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, they do the dress rehearsal like hours before the live show. I don't know, at like 8 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And then I know there's a gap between the dress rehearsal and the live show where they decide which sketches they're going to put in the live show. So like the people who see the dress rehearsal, they'll see sketches that never air.
Oh.
And I know they also tape the dress rehearsal like just in case something goes wrong on the live show.
Okay.
And then they can slot that in. On the reruns, like sometimes they do that.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. So, one to grow on. All right. Well, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll take a class trip.
Yeah, I think it's just a thing where you just wait in line, and it's like a first come first serve thing. I don't think you reserve tickets it or.
All right. Well,
I don't. We'll do some investigation on that.
We'll work this out for next year, guys. 2019. Yeah. look for it.
That's our New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the intro. I mean, it was cute. It's always fun to see.
Yeah, CCC.
You know, it's fun to see the Office people again. Did you watch that show?
The Office. I did. I thought it was okay. I'm a little bit a bigger fan. A little bit. I'm more of a bigger fan of the
British version.
The original version.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think the comedy was a little bit sharper, and the Americanized version was a little bit too Americanized or something. But I liked it.
Did you see the British version before the American version?
Yeah. Like, I found out about that, like, a friend of mine told me, and I think he lent me, back when people lent DVDs to each other, and, like, I saw it. I was like, oh, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I saw both those seasons, the Christmas episode, which was really good. Like, mm-hmm, that really... Mm-hmm. Tied up everything beautifully, and then I heard they were doing an American reboot, and I was like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Yeah. And then it's this huge success. I think it had very good timing because it did, like, I think a 6-episode season, and then that was when 40-Year-Old Virgin hit.
Yeah.
And so Steve Carell becomes like this big comedy star, and then everybody comes back and starts watching The Office. And that I think really helped.
Yeah,
the show,
very much so.
Its audience.
I think he was interviewed on the this podcast I listened to called The Hollywood Reporter,
mm-hmm.
And it's really good. Like, they talk to like a star or a director for like an hour about, you know, how they started and where the, you know, how they get mm-hmm. to where they are now. And like, I think he mentioned that too, where they had 40-Year-Old Virgin in the can, and then he went on to do The Office, and then 40-Year-Old Virgin just became a hit. So mm-hmm. like off of that, gave The Office a little bit of a bump.
Yeah. It got the Carell bump.
Carell bump.
So let's see. So then we have the first sketch. We had Steve Carell as a dad. He was waking his kids up at 5 a.m. to go to Disney World. And the joke there is that the kids all know that Carell's wife is leaving him because they've already taken a vacation to Disneyland with his boss.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my god, is that dumb?
And
like, it was a weird sketch.
Especially for a first sketch.
Like, I looked at this guy, I swear, it's like, this sketch I thought was made for like a 12:30 slot. This mm-hmm. was like after 12:30, and
mm-hmm.
the fact that this was the first sketch, like, really, I thought it was really an odd choice.
Yeah, it was a weird one, and it was very quick, too.
Yeah.
Which
it was, like,
was also weird.
It was quick, it was weird, it seemed like the chemistry with all the cast members was kind of off, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just didn't, I felt like something was off with the whole thing.
It didn't quite click for you.
Yeah, not really, but Yeah. I mean, you know, they gave it their all. Like Carell gave it what he could.
Yeah,
it,
I just need a little more oomph or something. I mean, I like more the premise, but
a little more cowbell.
Yeah, I could have used a little more cowbell.
Really explore the space.
Yeah. Next, we had a fake commercial.
The Amazon commercial.
Yes, with
I like this one.
Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Played by Steve Carell, and wearing a bald cap.
Right.
Because Amazon just announced their new corporate headquarters.
Yes.
One in Queens.
Queens, New York, Long Island City, and the other one in Arlington, Virginia.
Right.
Which are like two of the busiest cities in the country.
Right.
And that leads into Jeff Bezos saying, oh, a lot of people think I'm doing this because I'm kind of like vengeful against Donald Trump because he said terrible things about me. So I'm putting one Amazon in his hometown where he grew up in Queens, New York, and another Amazon where he is now. And then it kind of goes off into this thing of how like everything he's doing is like a thinly veiled, you know, way to stick it to Trump in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he walked past a picture of the toad from the Super Mario Brothers cartoon.
I loved that. And that didn't get any laugh or recognition from the audience.
I know, like it was like a really small thing. Like he didn't even mention it.
It wasn't commented on, but
yeah.
I mean, it was just a picture of the mushroom.
The mushroom head from Super Mario Brothers.
Which, if in case you don't know, Stormy Daniels, who had a thing with our current president, she came out and she compared our president's penis to
Toad from the
Super Mario Brothers.
This is real life.
And this is a thing that we know. This is a thing that is in our heads now, and we can't get it out.
Oh, dear.
We now have that mental image.
Yeah, and the fact that he just had a picture of it and they didn't say anything about it.
I love that.
I like little quick things like that where they don't say what the joke is happening. But if you see it, you get it and you know it. It makes it funny. It's like a little inside joke.
And there was a line I really liked where he was talking about, he said, Art of the Deal is the only book with four chapter 11s.
Zing!
Which I loved.
I laughed out loud at that one.
Yeah, that was a laugh out loud line for me too. And then I said, this has been a sick burn from Jeff Bezos. Honestly, the more this went on, the more I was like, the premise of the sketch that he did these headquarters in New York and in Virginia just to troll Trump, and he's doing all these things just to troll Trump. I was like, this makes a lot of sense.
I didn't even know about this theory until the sketch.
Neither did I, but I was kind of convinced by the end.
That does make sense. He would do that. I was like, it's bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo, good sir.
It was, that might have been the sketch of the night for me. I would
agree.
Yeah.
Sketch of the night.
Yeah. So next we had a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes, like a Friendsgiving thing, and they were trying to figure out like a Thanksgiving song, or they're trying to remember this Thanksgiving song.
Yeah, Cecily Strong and Steve Carell, they both remember this. The table starts talking about how there are no Thanksgiving songs.
Right.
And then Steve Carell and Cecily Strong's character, they both recall one, and they start singing it, and nobody else at the table recalls it.
Right. And
then they eventually get a keyboard, and they start doing a whole production number of it.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I think I saw a synthesizer in the closet over here. Let me just get it out.
Oh, I've got a couple of AAA batteries right here. I like the absurdity of that.
Didn't they do this once before? I feel like,
did they?
Like it was like a sketch revolving around not remembering a song, and then them singing like this song that sounds very made up, but the song sounds so good, everybody gets into it and they think it's a real song at some point.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of this, everybody else on the table recalled it and was singing along to it.
Yeah, but it was a song about like erectile dysfunction and not being able to satisfy your lover.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a weird song.
It
was a weird sketch, but like, it had something. Because like at the end of it, Cecily Strong,
she disappears.
And it's like, oh, wow, was she even here?
And then everyone discovers their valuables missing.
Yeah, it's like, hey, wasn't there a TV over there? Hey, I think I was stabbed.
It ended. It had like some of those weird, surreal touches.
Yeah,
to it.
It was an odd one, but
it was another. It was another odd one. It also ended like very abruptly.
Yeah, they do that a lot. There's another one we'll talk about later, but there's one that ended very abruptly.
This was the night of abrupt endings. It was like,
just like the end.
It was like, I don't know what was going on. It was like, was everybody writing, were they on like a really tight deadline and they were just like, finish whatever page you're on and just.
I know. There's that one sketch where, like, we'll talk about it, where it just ends like right after somebody says something and I was just like, wow, that's a weird way to end it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
And
next one. Oh, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg video.
We talked last week. We were saying we were surprised they didn't do a little more with the Ruth Bader Ginsburg breaking three ribs thing.
And here we are.
And boom. They went to town on it this
Obviously
week.
Somebody listens to the podcast, somebody on the writing staff or maybe one of the cast members.
Absolutely. There's no other possible
there's
way.
No
that
other.
Happen.
There's no other explanation.
They listened to us. They were like, Darren and John are right.
Yeah.
Those guys know what they're talking about.
That's right.
We're going to do this. We're going to do this just for them. In fact, I think right. I saw like just a couple frames. It just said dedicated to Darren and John. They just flashed that on the screen at the end. Well, you have to really slow-mo it down to see. But.
And guys, we say you're welcome.
Absolutely. Just if we help bring this into the world, I would be immensely flattered.
Just give some free passes to the next SNL, and then we'll call it even.
Exactly. And so this was another rap number. It was another film segment with Pete Davidson and Chris Redd, and this is becoming a thing. The two of them doing a rap number.
Yeah, I guess they're rapping now. They're rappers.
They did the trees thing a little while ago, and this was all about just basically the notorious
RBG
being... Chew. Kick ass, and not even three broken ribs will slow her down.
That's right, she eats that shit for breakfast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And
but I like my favorite part was at the end where I think Chris Redd was talking to Pete, and he was like, "Yo, tell him what your favorite decision by Ruth Bader Ginsburg is, son." And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I was like, I feel like that's a lot with a lot of people. That people love Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but if you ask them what did she actually do, they might blank.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, oh yeah, no, she did the thing with equality.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's partly because of this that she's stuff like this, but she's become a meme.
Yeah,
you know?
Very
I mean, because
so.
She's this very unassuming looking, frail looking older woman.
Yeah,
and
but everybody has this love for her. But then, if you ask them, well, what does she do? I think a lot of people would be like, oh, you know, she's just cool and
well. I mean,
she
they
dances.
Just, I think a lot of people they just like that she's one of the more left leaning voices on the court.
Yes,
these days.
Oh, we need
which
that.
God knows we need.
Oh, God.
I mean,
we lean to the left, people. If you don't capture on that,
we've made that clear.
Yeah. All right. I'm just want to let people know.
That's true. In case it's somebody's first episode or something.
It's like some NRA members, like, what the hell? I don't want this. The snowflake cuck podcast. I imagine we reach out to Oklahoma and whatnot.
Sure, sure.
You know, SNL podcast and
we play
NRA.
Big in the Bible Belt.
Yes,
yeah.
Below the bayou, we're huge.
That's right. All the Duck Dynasty guys, they just love us.
Yes, SNL podcast listeners and you know, John Deere. Enthusiasts, they run in the same circles.
Yes.
What were we talking about? I'm sorry.
We were talking about the show nominally. I mean, this is the show of like, you know, a million and a half tangents, which should maybe tell you something about what we thought of this episode.
It really should. It really should.
We seem to be eager to talk about anything but this episode.
Oh boy. Again, SNL writers, if you're listening, we do like the episode. But.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Actually, this one was another one of my favorites.
I kind of like this one, too.
This was the NASA International Space Station, and they're broadcasting to various classrooms on Earth. And
right.
Steve Carell's like the guy in charge. And who do we have with him? We had Leslie Jones and Mikey Day.
That was Mikey Day. Yes.
Mikey Day and Leslie Jones, and they're answering questions from classrooms all around the world.
Right.
And then like an alarm goes off and Mikey Day has to go fix it, and we hear some ominous sounds.
Yeah, something happens, and then like Steve Carell still talking to the kids, make sure everything, letting them know everything's okay.
Right.
There was one line that A.D. Bryan had because she was one of the kids. And she was like, oh, hi, my name is Haley, like the comet, and Eminem's daughter.
Yeah.
I don't know why that made me laugh. It's just like...
That was funny.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, Eminem's daughter?
It's just a throwaway gag, but I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. So Mikey Day, he goes off to check on what happened with their, like, animal menagerie that they took up.
Right.
And apparently it was exposed to the outside, and so all the animals were instantly frozen. So we got...
So you see frozen dead monkeys flying.
We see frozen dead monkeys.
Flying about.
And the one moment, this literally made me laugh out loud, where Steve Carell, he's holding a frozen monkey, and he's just, you know, it's a stuffed doll, but, you know, it's frozen. Right. And they're frozen with their hair
out
and
like
they've
Godfrey
just...
Like Guy Fieri.
Exactly. An expression of horror on their faces.
Yeah.
And... Steve Carell's holding the frozen monkey, and he just snaps the arm off
like
accidentally.
Yeah, it's like, oh god!
And he's so horrified, and it was so abrupt and unexpected. It made me laugh.
It was funny, and then it had one of the other NASA members, Svetlana, was like, she mm-hmm. got sucked outside, and she was like kind of banging her head against
yeah.
the outside.
And we see, I think that was Kate McKinnon.
I'd wager it was Kate.
It looked like her.
Yeah,
and she was just very still, and she's sort of banging against the window. And at one point, Leslie Jones says there's a cat with no face floating around.
Yes.
Because apparently the cat's face was wiped off or
sucked
something.
Out or
yeah.
into space.
And then we later see that cat, which was very funny.
It's pretty disturbing. But funny.
It was, Kate McKinnon is a dead cosmonaut. And and this was another one. In my notes, I wrote no real ending. It just ended very abruptly.
Yeah, it just ended with like a please stand by, and then that was it.
Yeah, there wasn't any like sort of big finish or big laugh at the end.
Yeah, I guess.
It didn't really build anything.
Writers have deadlines. I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
People are like, goddamn it, I got 10 minutes. Like, hey.
I don't know what was going on.
It goes to please stand by at the end. Here.
Yeah, it was very perplexing to me. So I half liked this one. It made me laugh. And,
yeah. I got a kick. This one I liked. I got a kick out of it.
Yeah. So next we had our musical guest, LMA.
LMA, yeah. I know her songs a little bit. I've heard them on the radio.
You made a point of checking her out when you heard that she was going to be on the show, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like her. She has that one song, I guess it's called Trippin', and then the other one, Boot Up, I believe it's called. Or
did she do Boot Up last
year? Yeah, I think she did both, because like those are both her two big hits. So she did both the hits. And like she's a nice performer. It's like a very mellow, they're mellow songs, so she's she performs it kind of mellow. And I thought it was all right. I think she's a good singer. It's like her first album. I think she'll do all right in this industry.
Yeah, I thought she was fine. I didn't love her. I didn't hate her.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is pleasant.
You know, I thought it was interesting in her second segment. She has like the chain link fence behind her that her band's behind.
Yeah.
And then they have like a fog machine. They do much more like big production numbers for the SNL musical guests now.
I thought that was weird. Like with the chain link fence, I thought, oh, they're going to do something with that. Because like, why else would you put out all those props and not do something with it? They really didn't do anything.
But they just, I mean, that seems to be a common thing they do now, is that they have like a big set piece, like, you know, like Kanye had a big thing. And,
oh, yeah. And, oh, yeah, and there was that one.
Lil Wayne, I think, had a lot of
which one was it where they had like a merry-go-round horse on stage and some girl just kind of like lazily like riding it?
Yeah.
I forget that. And they just had it and it didn't seem to be.
Yeah. It was just a thing that was there.
I think it was Travis Scott. But yeah, they just had it. It didn't really play a part in the song. They didn't really interact with it anymore. Yeah. It was just
there. They're going for much more spectacle, it seems like, on the musical guest. Because it used to just be the band and they play.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it.
I know. I guess it says something about your music when you need all that in order to keep people attention.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a thing that the musicians are demanding or if it's the show is pushing for more of that. I'd be interested to hear the rationale behind that.
We have to look into this.
I don't know.
It goes all the way to the top. That's right.
I like how you make this sound like a Watergate type conspiracy. Follow the money.
Follow the merry-go-round.
We're going to meet Hal Holbrook in an underground parking garage.
Oh, nice.
He's going to tell us who to go after. Mm-hmm.
You're asking too many questions. You need to stop.
Assassins will be after us, and we'll just be running away from them in the underground parking garage.
Colin Jones and Michael Che with Tommy Guns.
You know too much.
Michael Che, no. Michael Che, hey, no.
Learn how to pronounce my name, damn it.
Oh, God.
Colin Jones, I don't have Lego hair.
Oh, wow. Oh, so they do listen to the podcast.
They do. Oh. That would be kind of flattering, wouldn't it?
That'll be my last words. You listen to my podcast.
So speaking of Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Please rate and review.
Please rate and review. And so next we have the
weekend
centerpiece
update.
Of the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Weekend update.
Yeah, I thought this one was okay. It was. They've done better, but this was all right.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't too much that I was just like, oh wow, that's great, or that's a cool hot take. Yeah. Or,
I mean, well, the one I kind of like when they're talking about voting and how I did think about this, especially when we're the big midterm elections.
Because they were doing a story where some of the machines, I think it was in Florida, they said the machines got overheated.
Right.
And so they had way fewer voting machines than they should have.
Yeah, exactly. And that's still, because that reminded me, like, when the midterms happened and I voted, mm-hmm. one of the machines where I was at, it didn't work for a while.
Oh, you told me about this, I think.
Yeah, like, it didn't, like, and people, like, for some reason, it wasn't registering, and everybody mm-hmm. was freaking out, like, what do we do, what do we do?
Right.
And, you know, people were like, well, you can't turn it off and turn it back on, because then the votes might get lost.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then, I mean, they fixed it. It was okay again, but... That did make me think, like, why? I mean, it's 2018. Why are we still voting like this? Like,
why don't we have this in a more efficient?
Yeah, like we can order system. We can order food on our phones. We can order mm-hmm. car service, like all those little creature comforts we could do with the greatest of ease. But
yep.
something like, you know, not like electing officials for office. We still got to use this like 1965 method of voting.
And, yeah, exactly.
And it's like, what are we doing? Why is this like this?
It's nuts. It's nuts.
Oy.
But the wheels of democracy turn slowly, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got that, all the bureaucracy, and you have all the people with the vested interest not to change things or make
get
it
on
better.
That, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Help us out. One of the people that came out was Mikey Day again as mm-hmm. Denver Riggleman. Apparently,
yes,
he's an official who
he just got elected, who apparently writes Bigfoot erotica, and this is a real thing. This is not a thing for the sketch.
I didn't even hear about this.
I'd heard about this in passing.
You did?
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah. I hadn't done a whole lot of investigation into the story, but apparently, yeah, somebody who writes. Or has written Bigfoot erotica, has been elected into office.
Just when I think I can't be shocked anymore, I become shocked.
Yeah. So they had him read from some of his Bigfoot erotica.
Oh, God. As a joke.
Right.
Right. And, I mean, I got it. I felt weird. I felt weird listening to it. I felt weird seeing it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, just because...
I think it speaks well of you that it made right? you feel weird. Because you hear the words Bigfoot erotica, it's supposed to make you feel
okay,
weird.
Okay, good. All right, good.
If it doesn't make you feel horny, it's supposed to make you feel weird.
Okay. And, oh, thank God. All right, I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, very good.
That is a normal reaction to the words Bigfoot erotica.
I heard about this Bigfoot erotica. I got all horned up.
I
got
to find out what this is all about. Heading to Barnes & Noble right after the show.
Harry into Henderson's. Oh, my God. It is Bigfoot.
So that was a thing that they did.
Kenan Thompson did his LeVar Ball impression.
LeVar Ball, LA Laker LeVar Ball.
Yes, he's a father of a basketballer, apparently, mm-hmm. a basketball player. He basketballs.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, over the top kind of Kenan.
Yeah, and this is Kenan another thing Kenan. Where I had no idea how good or bad the impression might have been because right. I have no context for it because neither one of us are sports people.
Yeah, we are not. I mean, I've heard of LeVar Ball and I've seen him in like memes and stuff like that. And
okay, I think you're up on me.
GIFs. And yeah, that's all I know. I just know from stuff I see on like Giphy and whatnot. Like,
okay.
That's all I know. I don't know anything about him, but apparently he's just very brash, over-the-top persona.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, well, like I guess he nailed it.
Yeah.
I guess.
And that was pretty much it. That was the weekend update. Nothing too notable one way or the other.
Yeah.
No Pete Davidson apologies.
Yeah.
No Pete Davidson offending.
You didn't offend anybody with
congressional
that.
People.
I'm sure it'll happen again soon.
I mean, the show's coming back December 1st, so fingers crossed.
That's right. Hopefully, there's someone with an eye patch or some type of disability. Pete Davidson can mock.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's hope. So next we had a 50s sleepover.
Yeah.
Which was, they were doing sort of a parody of the Grease number, Beauty School Dropout.
Yeah, like, is it bad that I've never seen Grease, like, all the way through? I think I might have seen it once all the way through. But I did get the reference.
Because
I remember that Beauty School Dropout thing.
So Heidi Gardner is playing a girl who just dropped out of high school. Right. And then they have this sort of dream sequence where Steve Carell comes on as, I think it's Frankie Avalon in the Grease movie.
Yes.
With like a 70s fro.
Like a perm.
A perm, yes.
A disco perm. Stew, if you will.
Exactly. It's a perm, not a fro. Excuse me. And so he's given, and he turns out to be A.D. Bryant's long-lost dad.
Yeah.
And
it's like, where have you been? It's been 6 weeks.
Yeah. And
it was funny. It was awkward.
It was funny. It was bizarre. It was funny. It was, I think it also ended kind of abruptly, as I recall.
Yeah, a lot of bizarreness in today's episode.
Yeah.
This is just like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes bizarre can be funny, just mm-hmm. absurd for absurd's sake.
Yeah.
But then sometimes absurd is just like, what?
Well, I mean, if you're doing something bizarre and surreal or whatever it is, if it works, it works beautifully. If it doesn't work, it just kind of lies there.
Yeah,
you know, so. It's an all or nothing proposition, I think.
Very true.
But I was amused that they really duplicated the look from Grease, and
they
had him in the Frankie Avalon 70s perm, which doesn't look 50s at all.
Yeah, no, not at all.
but it's funny because of that.
Yeah, like I was thinking, like, do people have perms back in the 50s? I didn't think they did.
I don't think so.
I
see those, I think, the later seasons of the Brady Bunch.
Yes, you know? Exactly. That's like...
When all the Brady men got the perms.
Yeah, what was that about?
Except Bobby was suddenly blonde.
Yeah, that I...
For some reason. Because apparently, like, the actor, he, like, dyed his hair to match the other actors, and then the last season or two, they were
really?
Like,
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Mike Lookinland.
what a last name.
Lookinland. It sounds almost like a Native American last
Lorenzo
name.
Lorenzo Lamas.
Mike Lookinland.
Lookinland.
I actually remember there was some... This was a... I don't know when this was. This is probably like late 80s, early 90s. When Jimmy Smith was hosting SNL.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and
well.
Jimmy Smith was on a game show, and he was playing an American Indian. He was trying to win back his ancestors' land.
Right.
And I just... And it was one of those game shows where you hit a buzzer, and then you shout your answer. And I just remember him going, bloop, Mike Lookinland, and doing it in a mock American Indian, Native American accent.
Oh, yeah.
Just going, Mike Lookinland. And that was very funny. That was... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. I thought you were going to tell you about the other sketch. I think Jimmy Smith was in it, too, when he was a news anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was new.
Yeah, and they were doing the pronunciation.
Yeah, they were. And it was like him. I think it was like Phil Hartman definitely was in it. And I think Victoria Jackson. And they were explaining. They were pronouncing Spanish words differently. Like
they're overemphasizing the Spanish. Like Nicaragua.
Yeah, the Arancontras.
Yes, and with every possible word that you could put in Spanish.
Yeah, and
pronunciation.
And then, like, he was like, Jimmy Smith was there, like, oh, okay, you're just saying that. And then I think they ordered lunch.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, oh, what would you like for lunch? He was like, oh, I would like an enchilada.
And chimichangas.
Chimichangas.
And yes.
That was it. All right, so there's a little flashback right there.
What does it say that we remember this Jimmy Smith episode from probably 25 years ago better than we remember the episode we watched last night?
It speaks volumes. is what it does.
So where were we? Let's see.
Oh,
we did the grease. We did the
RV sketch.
Oh yeah, the parents in the RV.
Now this is the one I was talking about that ended really abruptly.
I also have this in my notes. It says abrupt ending.
Like super abrupt. I was like, is that, wait, that's it? It was really weird.
It's like every single sketch.
But no, it was weird. Because like usually I know a sketch is coming to an end when... Because they do a thing where, like, they show an exterior shot of where the sketch is taking place.
Uh-huh.
And they do the sketch. And then they show the exterior shot again of where they did the sketch. And then when they show the exterior shot at the end, that's when you know the sketch is over.
Right.
But with this sketch, they showed the exterior shot of the RV.
Yeah.
They had the sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just went into, like, the title cards and then went to commercials.
Yeah, it was like they forgot to hit the applause sign after the last line or something like that. So the audience didn't quite realize it was over.
Yeah, that's another thing. The audience, I know it's like on a lot of sketch, the audience kind of were, they weren't, I don't know, it was a weird audience.
We didn't really describe the sketch. We should maybe
backtrack
a bit.
Oh, yeah, we should do that.
So this was a couple kids visiting their parents in the RV. I think it was A.D. Bryant and
Mikey
Alex,
Day.
I was going to say Alex Moffitt. God damn it.
One day we...
It was
Mikey Day. It was definitely Mikey
okay,
Day.
Okay, okay. It was a heavy show for Mikey Day. We saw a lot of it.
It was Mikey Heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy days.
It was one of SNL's heavy days.
One of those days.
And they're visiting their parents, played by Steve Carell and our girl Heidi Gardner.
Heidi Gardner, yeah. She's on the come up.
She's doing really well, especially considering it's her like first full season on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she came in like late last season, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So the parents have recently they're retired parents, and they're in an RV,
right?
And the dad's loving it,
right?
And Steve Carell has a fake beard for some reason, because I guess he's going back to nature,
yeah.
And we learned that Heidi Gardner's character, the mom, she does not like it.
Yes, because
she's saying she likes it, but she does not.
Right, because Steve Carell's character, he like quit his job and gave away all their possessions, and you know, it's something that most middle-aged men do. We're just like, you know, screw all this life. I want to just live out in nature.
And Heidi, she can't sit at the front of the RV because that's where their new dog, their Great Dane.
Yes, they bought a Great Dane.
And they bring in a real live Great Dane. And I'm always happy to see real dogs on SNL. I always get a kick out of that.
Yeah, I do too. Like, I'm a part of me is a little afraid because, like, you know, like they say, kids and dogs or kids and animals, you never know what they're going to do. But
that's the fun of it because you know the animal's probably going to do something unexpected.
Yeah, like,
But
you're always afraid, like, oh, will it, you know, will he bite somebody or take a dump or, you know, have a boner?
Like two of my favorite SNL sketches from the last few years have both involved dogs.
Wait, which ones are
those? There was the one where Scarlett Johansson was hosting. They reran this one in the 10 o'clock slot a week or two ago.
Okay.
Or did I watch this on YouTube? Anyway, she develops a hat that lets her read her dog's thoughts.
Oh.
And it's this cute little pug dog. I think.
Oh, okay.
And then she learns that her dog is a Trump supporter.
Oh, right. Yes, I do remember
she's
that.
Just horrified that her beloved dog is like, well, hey, you know, they should all go back to the countries they came from, and blah 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 blah. and they're doing the dog's thoughts and voiceover. And there was a funny bit where the dog like
takes the hat off.
Yeah, he starts scratching at his head, and so the prop hat comes off, and yet this hat's still lighting up and broadcasting his thoughts.
Yeah. All right. That was funny.
And
there
was another one where they were scientists who gave the dog human hands. So they just had like a dog's head and then there were like human hands.
Oh shit. Okay.
Underneath.
All right. All right. I remember.
I loved that. And, I mean, just dogs in comedy. I mean, I just love that.
Just can't go wrong.
They should do a dog theme show. I want to see this.
Don't give them any ideas.
I'm giving them an idea. They did the Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing.
That's true.
I want an all dog. Are there any dog related holidays? They should do it around Thanksgiving because they have the Westminster Dog Show.
I was gonna say Arbor Day. Like, what's the one where they plant trees?
Yeah, that's Arbor. Yeah,
okay.
That's
plant trees and pee on the trees.
Like, but dogs pee on trees, so there's a tie in there.
So SNL writers.
If anyone from NBC is seeing this, I want a compilation of SNL dog sketches.
That's right. Get on it.
Yeah, let's make this happen.
And we, you know, SNL listens to us to our podcast, so they obviously know.
I think we've clearly established this.
Clearly. So at the end, of the sketch, it was Kate McKinnon come in because she's like the one that sold them the dog, and then her last line was, "Oh, it's a bad time to say that the dog." Because at the end, Heidi Gardner kind of breaks down and just like, "This is hell on earth. I don't want to be here."
Right.
And then Kate McKinnon says, "Oh, it's a bad time to say the dog's pregnant." And then it just cuts to commercial, and that was
so weird.
So weird.
It was this weird abrupt ending where it was just it was like,
I mean, they didn't even give time.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, they didn't even give time for the audience to like applaud.
Yeah, no, the audience was as confused as we were at home, I think.
I don't know. It was weird. It was a weird feeling. So the next one was another weird sketch, the outer space.
Another space station sketch.
Yeah, I guess I just had the space station at the ready.
Where some Earth astronauts are having some space aliens over for Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
And they're being fed Kern, which is their alien corn, which looks like corn on the cob, but it's purple.
Right.
And they bite into the cornels.
Right.
And then when the Earth people bite into the cornels, they cut to a close-up of Pete Davidson in purple as one of the Kern saying, "Please stop eating me."
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's really it.
And
then I think it's one of the sketches. It was kind of surrounded around the word Kern. So I think like they were hoping to get most of their comedy from the word Kern.
Well, and then the aliens are going like, "Oh, no, that's not, it's not like a sentient being. That's just the sound it makes when you bite into it."
Right. And then they were like, "Well, what do we do? Oh, I have an idea." And they just keep on eating the Kern.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the sketch.
Yeah. And there was a weird screw up at the end.
Yeah, you saw that too, right?
Yes, where they cut back to Pete Davidson and he doesn't have like the purple tint on his face.
Yeah, like
he's
the green screen or whatever.
He's not chroma keyed onto the other kernels or the cornels.
Right.
So you just see Pete Davidson's face sideways, surrounded by black.
Ah.
And I don't know Yeah, somebody fell asleep at the switch somewhere.
It was weird.
I mean, at the end, it looked like all the actors were kind of breaking a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think it was one of those things where, I mean, I don't know if you've done like improv and stuff. It's like one of the uh-huh. things where you could see the sketch wasn't working so much. It's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way the whole sketch was just kind of falling apart. Yeah. Like everybody was like, this is hilarious how bad it is. Like, so right. everybody was like kind of breaking, and it was another bizarre sketch.
It's, I mean, this week it was like the writers went to Lorne and they were like, oh, we want to start our Thanksgiving vacations early. And he's like, well, yeah, all right. But we still have a show at 11:30. So that just write anything.
Wow. It's like Lorne Michaels is here with us.
I know.
but yeah, it was that another one was just like, I don't know, that sketch was like, mm-hmm. It was just bizarre.
And
the final sketch of the night,
last one was
GP Yaws,
and that was it in the sketch? Was it Heidi?
I believe it was Heidi
and Steve Carell.
Yes.
And okay.
It's basically a GPS where the voice over that gives the directions is done by a drag queen.
Yeah.
Get it, GP Yaws.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then it's like, you know, make a left turn, honey.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, and it's that's. That's really it. That's the whole sketch.
And oddly, there was also a drag queen joke during Weekend Update, where one point Michael Che said something like, I think they said the name Chocolate Rose or something like that, and he said, and that's my drag name. And then they show a Photoshop of Michael Che as a drag queen.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
This was another quick thing, and the joke was just
a sketch based on a pun.
Yeah,
and the
flamboyant drag queen, voice,
and men dressed up in tight leather shorts and corsets.
Sure,
or is that what they're called? Corsets or
corsets are the things that go around your middle.
What's it called? Wouldn't they have like the leather straps and I'm assuming you know, but I just took a guess.
Like, I think they're just called leather straps.
All right, let's leather straps.
I don't.
You know,
like a harness?
Yeah, harness.
Like the
stereotypical gay man attire, mm-hmm. like, you know, harness and the YMCA.
Like the leather man in the Village People.
Yes, very much so. Like the Blue Oyster scene in Police Academy.
Oof. Wow. That's going back.
I love that song.
You hear that music, you're instantly back in that scene from Police Academy. That's amazing.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. So,
GP, yeah, I think this might be the death of the word Yas, because, I don't know.
It seems like, if it's not, it should be.
Yeah, it's like, once you see it in, like, you know, mainstream culture, like woke, is like, all right, we're done with woke, and we're done with
Yas. When enough white people start using it.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's your fault, is basically what I'm trying to say.
No, I get it. I understand.
So shame on you.
I don't debate it. We should stop using it.
All right, and that's the episode.
It was a pretty mediocre show overall.
Yeah, I mean, Carell. I think Carell did a good job overall.
Yeah, he was fine. He did a good job with what they gave him to do. It was just I think the problem was just the writing. The writing was really off this week.
Yeah, the Jeff Bezos sketch was good. I did like that.
The Bezos was, I think, the clear standout of the week because it had a strong premise. It worked from beginning to end, and it didn't end weirdly and abruptly.
Yeah, it had a strong ending. I thought that was good, but
but
I don't know. It happens. They all can't be gems.
No, this was an off show. I think this was definitely the worst of the season so far.
Wow, the worst.
Well, so far,
I'm gonna have to go back in the archive and find out.
Well, let's see. We last week we had Liev Schreiber. Before that we had Jonah Hill.
Okay.
We had Seth Meyers and Paul Simon.
That was all right.
We had Awkwafina and Travis Scott.
That was actually all
right. And the premiere was Adam Driver and Kanye West.
Oh yeah. Oof.
I think that's everyone.
All right, that might be. Yeah, I guess you might be right.
So.
All right. Well.
Prove me wrong, Darren Patterson. Prove me wrong.
I guess I can. I stand down. I yield.
Never question me again.
Well, good heavens. Wow. You're drunk with power once
yeah, I really am.
Okay. That's it. That's it.
The show is coming back on December 1st with
Claire Foy.
Claire Foy and Anderson Paak.
Yes. He's like a rapper. R&B.
A rapper.
Michael Che. He's a rapper, I think R&B. He does like R&B a little bit, and I think he plays drums too.
Okay.
But I've heard some of his stuff. His stuff's all right. I'm not well versed in Anderson Paak, but I know he's in.
Does it seem like we're having a lot of rappers on?
Yeah,
this season.
It does. I mean, I think lately, or maybe not lately, even sooner, but like SNL has just been having a lot more like younger, youth oriented musical guests.
I mean, are they consciously going younger? I was assuming it was just like me getting older and me not knowing who the current musicians are much.
I feel like they're just like consciously going younger. Like once in a like Paul Simon was the oldest person. That's because like Paul Simon knows Lorne Michaels. Like,
right. He has
an
back.
He has an in. But like as far as like, you know, like adult contemporary artists or maybe just artists that have an older audience, I don't think SNL is really checking for them like that.
No. And I mean, certainly with the music, you need to stay current and you need to stay hip and with it and, you know, have the latest thing or the person who's about to break
on the show. Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
I mean, I'm not really criticizing that. It's just...
Yeah, but I mean, Anderson .Paak, I know he's been on other people's albums. He had a song on the last Tribe Called Quest album, which I love to death. That last album was just a fucking beautiful album. But yeah, I mean, he's done good stuff. Anderson .Paak, from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
And Claire Foy, she's
she is on The Crown on Netflix.
Okay.
And most recently, she is the...
Is she the person in the girl with the spiderweb?
Yes.
Movie.
She was also in First Man with Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
And she's done other few movies, but like I think The Crown is the one that kind of broke her to American audiences. I think she's been in the UK for quite a bit, but like now she's like getting that American love.
So that'll be an interesting show. It'll be interesting to see what they come up with there.
Yeah, and I think she mostly does like dramas, so let's be interesting to see if she could do comedy or how well she does comedy.
Okay, so I think that is about it for this week.
That's what we got.
We are going to be back. We're debating what we're going to do for the skip week. We will do a show.
Yeah.
We just don't know for sure what we're going to do. Should we talk about what we're our debate?
Sure, we could talk about it. Why not?
We were talking. Well, so Saturday Night Live, the SNL, they're doing one of their specials, the primetime special. They're doing a Thanksgiving special with like Thanksgiving themed sketches through the years.
So we were thinking about like watching that and talking about that.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Or we could do another sort of best of thing and talk about our favorite hosts.
Favorite hosts,
because we've talked about our favorite cast members. We talked about our favorite sketches. We figured it's time to talk about favorite hosts.
Go to the hosts. So it'll probably be one of those two or maybe another one. You don't know. It's a big old surprise.
There could be a monkey wrench thrown into the
We played
the
fast and loose. Yeah.
That's true.
We're Mavericks.
We might not know until we like come in here and turn on the microphones next week.
We just might talk about our day and that's it.
We could. I mean, we certainly went off on enough tangents this week.
Absolutely. We have tangents. We have tangents to spare.
we really were like talking about everything but the show. Because I think we just didn't have too much to say about the show other than, well, that was weird.
Yeah. Like, hey, remember Jimmy Smits back in 20 years ago?
Remember Jimmy Smits back in the 90s?
That was great.
That was great.
Good times. All right.
So, yeah, maybe we'll just come in here and we'll talk about Jimmy Smits for an hour and a half. Ooh. Who knows?
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Who knows? We'll start with the L.A. Law. We'll go into the NYPD Blue years. We'll talk about his Star Wars work.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
this is exciting already.
He was in El Gringo with Gregory Peck.
He was?
I think.
Okay. I trust you.
I don't know.
Okay. All right, it'll be fantastic.
I may have reached the extent of my Jimmy Smits knowledge. This was a horrible idea.
You're bailing on it. I regret this decision immediately. Oh, boy.
We'll talk about Jimmy Smits, and we'll move on to talking about Ricky Schroeder, and then Mark Paul Gosselaar. Yeah. All the NYPD Blue partners of Dennis Franz.
It'll be NYPD heavy.
Yeah. So join us next week for the NYPD Blue Nerds.
Yes. And, we're rebranding right now.
We're rebranding.
As we speak.
That's right. That show was on for like 12 years. There's lots of material there.
Darn tootin'. And it comes back.
Call back. Well, that's a perfect place to end it. My name is John Trumbull. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TrumbullComic.
I'm Darren Paris, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DarrenCredible and my website, DarrenCredible.com, DarrenCredible.
Anything else we want to plug?
Nah, I guess that's it.
All right. Well, so thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week with something.
Later.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.